Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool. Episode 58, Jeff Lowe, Trill Ballins, Ken Jack. And actually, it's not the Triple Vodka Trill this week. It's the Vacation Trill this week. Big time vacation, boy.
Yeah, big time vacation. Nice time to take a summer vacation heading into the 4th of July week. You get that built-in free day off that you can spend not worrying about taking PTO.
Ooh.
Which is unfortunately the way a lot of people feel, because you feel like you miss stuff at work. You guys haven't missed stuff. You guys have been going into work, right?
Yeah,
like
stooges.
Yeah. We're going to be two of the only people in the office next week, I believe.
Yeah, pretty much. I think literally every other person is going to be out.
This is
you guys are going to look like some nerds.
Yeah, no.
This is an exact copy of what Red Letter Media did, but maybe we can find a way to, like, they watched all three of the first three Transformers movies at the same time. We should put like all the Batman movies on all the TVs separately and try to watch them all at once. Something just really stupid.
Good. Could hook into the DVRs
like
in the bar.
That's good.
Yeah. Don't ask me what that achieves, because I don't know, but it's an idea. So we're reviewing Jurassic World this week. PFT is going to join us in a little bit to review the movie with us. All right, let's get into some news. Got some news to talk about here. I can't believe we didn't talk about this on Sunday. Look, we're big time movie boys, but we miss sometimes. And by that, I mean me, because I forgot to do this as an addition to the rundown. Creed 2. The trailer for Creed 2 dropped, and we didn't fucking talk about it because I forgot to put it in the rundown. Thoughts on the Creed 2 trailer? Because a lot of hype about it. I thought the trailer was great, but I'm still a little worried because we don't have Ryan Coogler anymore. Director change worries me a little bit. And you can make any trailer look great. We know that.
That's
in 2018.
True.
Yeah, you can make any trailer look fantastic. So Creed 2 trailer thoughts, and then maybe dive into what you think about the movie, because, again, it's tough to really pull from the trailer too much.
I thought the trailer was awesome. And it's actually giving me more anticipation for the movie. I feel like I know what you're saying, Jeff, but I want to buy in right now. It got me that excited.
Yeah, I totally agree. Can you imagine how much more excited we would have been for it if they didn't already reveal that Ivan Drago's kid would have been fighting in it?
Yeah.
That would have been like the best trailer reveal of all time, but they kind of blew it with that. It does suck not having Coogler anymore. It's going to be Steve Caple Jr. He was in something. He directed something called The Land, which I haven't seen, but it has pretty decent reviews.
It's a movie. It's a gritty movie. It's a gritty movie involving like Cleveland, but it has a very similar look to Creed. So
that's perfect.
For what he's done, like, it looks cool, but like it's a big task for someone who hasn't done many movies. Continue.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, I think that Stallone is writing the screenplay with Cheo Hodori Corker, who writes for Ray Donovan and Luke Cage. Luke Cage does not have great screenwriting, but Ray Donovan very much does. So I don't know. Curious. I'm still definitely interested a lot. I just wish they didn't already give away the Creed or the Drago reveal, because that would have been an amazing trailer.
Great trailer moment.
Him at the end is great to begin with. And just to have, you know, just if you didn't know, would have been pretty nuts. But the trailer was cool. You know, I like Tessa Thompson being in there. She probably plays a pretty big role based on the trailer. But I hope it's the same style. And I hope. The one thing I only had complaint-wise about Creed was that Coogler is so great with his one shot, and that one shot boxing match at the beginning of Creed 2 is one of the best scenes in any movie. in recent memory. And I wish there had been more of that in that movie, and I hope they try and replicate it in this one. So, and I hope the soundtrack's great too. The using DNA by Kendrick Lamar was a pretty good move there with the Creed 2 trailer. It was fairly badass. So yeah, we liked the Creed 2 trailer. Most people did. We saw it in the on the big screen when we saw Jurassic World, and it looked great there too. So very excited for that one. How about this? Jared Leto is Morbius the vampire in a Spider-Man spinoff movie, and this will not affect him playing the Joker in the Joker spinoff movie. I mean, some thoughts on this, because this is some weird shit. Very strange.
Okay, so I don't know much about this character, but is Morbius like a known, like, is that the main character of the spinoff, or is he going to be the villain in a spinoff with another character we know?
I think it's just about Morbius.
So I'm not very familiar with Morbius, but he looks really cool, and it looks like something Jared Leto would fucking love to do.
It does. No, it's like, very true.
Like, he's probably dressed up as this character for Halloween before. Morbius the Living Vampire, which we might even be saying the name wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds it's stinky.
Probably one of those Deadpool things where, like, Ryan Reynolds wanted to do it, but Jared Leto, like, didn't want to pick a mainline superhero, so he picked, like, Morbius.
I don't know. I've never even heard of it until I saw this casting. But you know what? Like, Leto playing creepy characters is just, like, there's no one better for it. Even though Joker was kind of, like, in between. But that was more a product of the movie than of his performance.
His performance was a little over the top too, but that's because that's what the movie dictated. I think Leto's been creepy in other things. I mean, he certainly was creepy in Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, big
48.
Time. I think it was over the top, his performance as Joker, but also, like, what would you have preferred? Like, him just doing Ledger's Joker? That would have been, like, everyone would have said it's a ripoff. So I think making it his own was better than trying to replicate the success of Ledger's Joker, but yeah, you're right. It was a little too, I don't know, like, calm down, guy.
So Leto, Morbius the Living Vampire. Morbius. I don't know much about it. Yeah, it's a weird looking character, like you said, Trill.
It's like a vampire bat. It's like a living vampire, so it's not really a vampire. He's just a mutated bat. That's what it looks like. I don't know much about this character.
It looks like a...
Folks,
like,
I got a Wikipedia this.
It looks like something that you'd see in, like, a Nickelback video. I don't know why, but I look at him and I just think of Nickelback.
He looks like a Magic the Gathering card. Morbius. Health points, five out of five. Attack, take three one mana if tapped.
He looks like, he almost reminds me of, like...
I think we just discovered that each of us knows about Magic the Gathering.
He almost looks like a Mr. Hyde to Dr. Jekyll version of Gambit. Like, he's got the long hair, a bit of a cape thing going on. Like, he may have some Gambit relations. Now, that's a movie I know we're all looking for. He does. He sucks.
Yeah, he looks like a bitch ass.
Like, he looks like he sucks, but he's almost badass enough where I kind of care about how this is going to develop. Morbius, the Living Vampire. Apparently going to be played by Jared Leto, but he will still play the Joker, the rare DC Marvel actor. So we'll see.
I love when that happens.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that makes me feel smart whenever somebody in real life's like, "You have any good Marvel facts or DC facts?" And I'm like, "Well, actually, Jared Leto appeared in both DC and Marvel universes." And they're like, "Dude, this guy's smart."
Last but not least. We got to get to our Jurassic World review. The Predator, a new trailer for The Predator. Actually, the first full trailer for The Predator. Not getting good reviews. The big Predator fans love it, but most other people don't like it. Actually, I think some Predator fans don't even like it. But, oh, what do we think? We buttering? We not buttering? I am not a fan of this trailer at all. I don't know what's going on. I think it looks weird. And, like, they're almost making it too serious. Like, they're taking it way too seriously. Which I think is a concern with movies like The Predator. So, I mean, what do you think after your initial watches of this trailer?
Yeah, no, I think you're right on. I don't really have any, like, original thoughts other than that. But The Predator's just so tough to get back into after the movies it's had in the last whatever number of years. speaking mostly of the Adrian Brody one, but then also like Alien vs. Predator. So I didn't have a lot of trust to begin with there.
No, Alien vs. Predator wasn't as bad as people say. It was as bad as people say, but it wasn't as bad as most people say.
We were talking about hybrid dinosaurs, but then we got the Alien Predator hybrid. That was pretty cool. That was a cool moment in Alien vs. Predator.
It was. And this new Predator, that's like the best thing in the entire trailer, though. Like 20-foot tall Predator. That was the coolest thing in the entire trailer. But then Keegan-Michael Key saying, like, hey, your mama's vagina should be rated E for everyone. That's the worst line I've ever heard.
Why would you put that in a trailer?
And especially having a very well-known, funny person delivering it. That sucks. That sucked. Oh, puke.
That's one of those things where he's like, I'm not saying this. And they just dangle his paycheck in front of him. And he's like, well, fuck it. Okay, I'm going for it. Yeah, the Predator, the big Predator was cool, but the regular Predator, I think, just looks kind of goofy sometimes. Like the helmet reminded me of, what's his face's name? Man, not a good night for names with me. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Rick Moranis?
Rick Dark Moranis. Helmet from Spaceballs?
It looks like Dark Helmet. Yeah. The Predator's like mask was like the Dark Helmet Rick Moranis thing from Spaceballs. For some reason, that's what it just reminds me of when I look at it. I just think the movie looks lame. I don't know. I just don't think you should take it that seriously. And the movie looks very serious, except for that awful Keegan-Michael Key line.
Ugh, puke.
So Predator, yeah, people on our Twitter feed and our Reddit did not seem to like it. But much more to come from that. I think we'll probably get into Once Upon a Time in Hollywood on Sunday, because we got to get into our Jurassic World review. We got a fun segment where we talk about movies that we love, but we think critics hate. Really fun game. A lot of people in the office did it today. We'll reveal some of their results. Last but not least, Ken Jack and I, this is last but not least for sure. Ken Jack and I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp. We loved it. 87 out of 100. It's my number 11 Marvel movie. We're going to do our all 20 Marvel movie rankings, not next week, but the week after. So the week after July 4th. We loved it. Comes out a week from today, but we did an early review because we got the chance to go see a screening ahead of time. We're going to figure out these screenings and how we review things and how we release them, when we release them. Your feedback, always appreciated. You can find our review on BarstoolSports.com. But again, we loved it. Great time with Ant-Man and the Wasp. And suggestion, mid-credit scene. It's a big-time mid-credit scene. Stay for that. But if you got to pee and you got to leave, you can miss the last one. There are two, but you can miss the last one. That's our you're welcome for our service type thing here. So, okay, Jurassic World review. We're going to get into it on the other side of this break. PFT is going to join us to review it. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome to this freaking movie. I'm Andrew Dice Clay, and you, sucker, are watching Dice Man and the Fast Spa, starring me. And my co-star, Michael Fassbender, ho!
It's actually Fassbender, my good chap.
Bender? That's what I go on whenever I lose a bet, which I have done often in Atlantic City, ho!
Andrew, it's almost July. Why are you wearing a leather jacket and pants?
Leather? I hardly even know her! Ho ho! Let's start the frickin' movie, you c***!
Ant-Man, we must stop the evil ghost from stealing our technology.
Technology-la-la-what-la? Like the iPhones? Hey, I do know a foreign fella that sells down in Astoria. That's Queens.
You must be careful, too. He has an entire entourage with him.
Hey, entourage! I was on that, you know. You know what I say about Adrian Grenier, Vinny Chase, but Van... Go! Hey!
Oh my god, Ghost is taking off his mask.
Hey, that's a she! That's no man!
Did you just say snowman? It was a good movie, okay? You just don't appreciate good cinema, you stupid fuck!
Cinema? I used to go to a MILFs-only strip club of the same name, hey, in Brooklyn. Oh, that's in New York City, baby. Hey, play me off, Frankie. We're going to the moon. DiMaggio.
All right, welcome back. Lights, Camera, Barstool. Jeff Lowe, Tro Ballins, Ken Jack. Joined now by our guy, PFT Commenter. PFT, what's going on?
What's up, guys?
Wait,
what's going on there? Hang on, sorry. One second.
Okay. I think I hear PMT.
It's playing on my iTunes for some reason.
Are you listening to your own podcast?
No, it automatically started playing.
He's trying to incept our fucking podcast with his own.
You got to do... you got to study your own game film. I get this. I listen to this.
Are you nervous? This is like June of last year. Okay, how about now? Is that better?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay, sorry.
I think we almost have to leave that in. I think that was almost too good to cut out.
All right, hopefully this works.
Okay, I think we're good. Okay. All right, as I was saying, Jurassic World review. PFT, you saw it. All four of us saw it. Our listeners saw it. It wasn't great. I'll start out. I thought it was a retread. Just wasn't very exciting. Wow, a hybrid dinosaur. What a creative idea. Trill has probably my favorite take on the movie. He'll get to that. But, you know, they leave the island, as you've seen in the trailers. And it's just, it's boring. It's boring. I was bored with this movie. And it wasn't very exciting. I wasn't a big fan. I gave it a 63 out of 100. And I was generous. I was very generous with that score, as you'll hear with the rest of these scores. It was boring, lame script, lame B plots. These new Jurassic World movies have this thing with these B plots that they don't resolve. So just a bummer. Just like, it's dinosaurs. So when I say there's potential, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're just out. Maybe they just got to stop. And like my expectation.
It's not about the dinosaurs.
You don't think you think they can still make a good movie?
Yeah. If they put a good movie around it with characters you actually care about.
Turok.
I don't even know the character. I watched it. Today, I don't even remember the character names.
Yeah, I remember Owen now. I know Chris Pratt's name. But, I'll wrap mine up. 63 out of 100. I mean, if you like dinosaurs killing people, this is your movie. But otherwise, there's not much there. Trill, what'd you give it? What'd you think?
I initially gave it a 55 out of 100. I had to lower it to a 50. It's just right down the middle. I could have rated it worse. Let me say that. I didn't love this movie. But if you take your brain out of your head, it is somewhat of a fun summer movie to maybe watch. But yeah, the characterization sucks. They didn't develop any characters. Same thing as the first one. They continue to take these movies outside of the park or the world or the theme park they're based around, which is like the single most interesting part of these movies is that conceit of being at a theme park. And then they put it in some guy's basement for the next 2 hours. I don't know. Didn't love it.
Yeah, it's tough. Ken Jack, score and little recap.
I don't really remember. I think I gave it a 46, but it's not good. It's a steaming pile, to be honest. It wasn't very fun. And it's like Trill was saying, if you have a movie where your main location is like an exotic island and a theme park within that exotic island, and then you spend 2/3 of the movie inside like a mansion basement, you fucked up. And they fucked up big time. It was just boring. It's supposed to be a thriller. You're not thrilled. It's supposed to be suspenseful. No point do you feel suspenseful. And the dinosaur, the main dinosaur, kind of sucked. Like a lot, just like the last one, sort of.
More fucking hybrid dinosaurs. Just again, it feels like a retread.
What bird did you say this dinosaur is like, Ken Jack?
No, you said it was like Daffy Duck or something.
Yeah, it reminded me of just. I mean, I know maybe that's accurate because we now know dinosaurs had feathers and stuff, but it was goofy looking. It wasn't intimidating. Yeah. Let me put it that way. It looked like a bird.
I don't know whose idea it was to give the main dinosaur male pattern baldness, but it looked shitty. It looked like that cartoon vulture from the old Looney Tunes. He was like really slow. Didn't really enunciate. That's all I kept thinking about when I saw that dinosaur.
He's got that Terry Bradshaw wraparound.
Yeah, they should have given the dinosaur a voice and had Terry Bradshaw do the voiceover for it. That would have been a better movie. And then also show the dinosaur's ass like in Failure to Launch.
Yes. What did you give it, PFT, out of 100?
I didn't love the movie. I think I'm going to give it a 49. There were a few things that I really don't like about any movie. If you put your whole movie in the dark with rain coming down the whole time, I'm going to get pissed off. I'm going to feel cold. I'm going to feel like I can't see. I'm like a dog with bad eyesight sitting in a dark room, like trying to find its bone when I'm trying to watch these dinosaurs in like a monsoon the entire time. I don't know. The monsoon was, I think it was also down in Costa Rica or Isla Nublar. And then the monsoon followed them up to like Humboldt, California, wherever that mansion was. So the mansion itself, it looked cool. It looked like Mr. Burns, like shanty castle thing that he had on the side of the cliff. Basically, any evil villain could live in that mansion. And the person that they had living in it was actually, he was like a really nice character that did a couple evil things that you find out about later on in the movie. But he was like a good guy living in this like haunted house, basically. I think that I'm tired of having the same plot twist of another dinosaur coming in to save humans from the bad dinosaur. Like, I get it. That's what you do in Jurassic Park. You have like a Tyrannosaurus come in and eat the Allosaurus, and then you have that big sea monster eat the Tyrannosaurus. I get it. That's your thing. But they've done it so many times. It was so predictable. The whole thing was pretty predictable. I also didn't like how they killed that one dinosaur. How heavy into spoilers am I allowed to get here? Permission to go there?
Let's just say now, if you don't want Jurassic World spoiled, actually, I got to give a listener score. Listeners gave this movie a 64. Actually, is that right? Yeah, I'm going to say 64 for now. I'll look it up. It may have changed.
I'm not going to get into heavy spoilers, but I will say this could be a movie that I would bump it up to maybe like a 65 if I was really stoned when I went to go see it, because there were a lot of deaths and there was a lot of action. And so I think it would be a lot better if I was high when I watched. I also didn't like how they used Jeff Goldblum. I thought that was a big, big waste of Jeff Goldblum.
They created lines for him opening up, like testifying or whatever, that were intended to have like the same effect as some of his lines from the first Jurassic Park. And it just didn't work. They're just too corny. And part of the appeal for the first Jurassic Park is they're corny, but Goldblum pulled it off. Here it just felt forced.
It also felt like they filmed those scenes just to put them in trailers.
Yep.
Like, you almost saw the entire Goldblum thing in the trailer. Like, yeah, it was. All right, well, let's get into spoilers, though. So if you don't want to have Jurassic World spoiled for you, scores right now, Trill gave it a 50, PFD gave it a 49, I gave it a 63, Kenjack gave it a 46, listeners gave it a 64. If you don't want Jurassic World spoiled, we'll tell you the time, go to skip ahead. To avoid spoilers for Jurassic World, skip to 48:59. Also, this podcast should have been out like 3 hours ago, but I got caught up watching old episodes of Survivor All-Stars. All right, spoilers, because there is a lot to talk about this movie. It wasn't like one of those bad blockbusters where like it just kind of stunk. Like, there were a lot of things that I thought were just flat out stupid in this movie. Where do we want to begin? Is there anything that anyone's itching to talk about here?
I got a point of order. There was a Triceratops skeleton. Are we now fully back on the side of history where Triceratops were a real dinosaur? Because for a while, we were told that Triceratops weren't real.
I don't know if I ever got that education, because I have always thought to this day that Triceratops are real.
Oh, man.
They were in Barney.
They were in Barney. You might be seeing PFD. We're not a smart podcast.
So here's what I think happened with the Triceratops debate. This was a couple years ago. They said that they didn't exist and that in reality, everything – I guess they only found baby Triceratops skeletons in the wild and – The Triceratops was a real dinosaur, but it was just like half the size or a quarter of the size as we thought it was. So maybe that's what it was. Somebody out there will fill me in on it. Like, if we have any shout out to our paleontologist listeners, and please let me know if I'm wrong. But that was concerning.
No, it got the Pluto treatment. So they did the Pluto, right?
Bernstein Bears is never actually
not,
there.
Not the same thing, really. But
Schrodinger's Triceratops.
I'm on vacation. I can be nice. I hate the aquatic dinosaur. He is such a liability to Jurassic World and this park. He has popped up to antagonize everybody. There has not been one positive thing this aquatic dinosaur has done.
It killed the first bad raptor.
In general, he's been like a large nuisance to the Jurassic World community.
It literally saved the entire franchise in the first movie.
Oh, wait, from the Indominus Rex?
Yeah.
This is so fucking stupid to talk about, by the way.
No, the swimming dinosaur from the first movie, and then it popped up at the start of this movie, right?
Yeah, that's the one that killed the Indominus Rex in the end of the first one.
Oh, I thought, well, yeah, but like the old T-Rex from the original Jurassic Park, like, kind of killed it.
Right, it was a tag team situation.
Yeah, they just like pushed it into the water, and then it killed it, and it brutally killed who? It was Judy Greer.
Bryce Dallas
right?
Howard.
Oh, it was Bryce Dallas Howard. That's right.
You know what? I got to admit something. It takes a big man to admit this, but the woman that played like the nurse, the veterinarian in this movie, for a while, I thought maybe there's a chance she was Clint Howard's daughter. I was like, they got both the Howard girls now. That's awesome. It's a family thing.
Can you imagine that? Just imagining his voice, anything is, like, associated at all. Oh, wait, he was actually in Solo, wasn't he?
He was in Solo. It was incredibly jarring. And he was very jarring to see.
He was like a robot slave master. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, it was super weird. Yeah. The fish dinosaur, I'm not a big fan of either. In the beginning of the movie really confused me, and it took me a while to realize that I thought the park was flooded, but the opening where the dinosaur lived was just very large, and that was like the gate there opening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, continue, PFT.
It's been a huge liability.
You bring up a good point, which is why would you make a gate that's large enough for that animal to swim through that feeds directly into the ocean in the first place? What purpose would that gate serve? Like, when would you ever need to get that animal into the Pacific Ocean?
Well, the big dinosaur, right? It will only grow to the size of its container. So maybe if they ever wanted it to get larger, they need to get it out of the pond, because maybe it actually gets bigger than the size it is now.
That's just bad design.
Yeah.
True.
Though, everything that park does is bad design. Like, they make many shitty errors all the time. Like, everyone associated with Jurassic Park and Jurassic World is a fucking idiot at this point. Like, they screw more things up time and time again. It's unbelievable. The only guy that might have been smart enough was another character, I don't know his name, was who's the original Jurassic Park creator? What's his name again?
Hammond.
Yeah, Hammond's friend, who's in this movie out of nowhere, out of left field, never mentioned once in any of the previous movies.
Cromwell, yeah.
Which I'll let that slide. Like, that's that didn't bother me all that much. Like, because if that bothered me, then I should go back and say I don't like Snoke in Star Wars. Like, I don't care about that. However, like, they just brought him in to die. He just got strangled with a pillow. Like, that guy just smothered him with a pillow, which was... I mean, it's a dark movie, too. That's the other thing. Like, there isn't much fun about this movie. There's almost no fun with this movie at all.
It kind of feels like work at points, but there were other points that led me to give it to a 50. Like, at some points, it was fun to watch, and I was like, I'm having fun, but nothing around this movie all tied it together for me. And going back to your original point, like, I don't think it's the dinosaur movie that's dead, maybe, but... It's like what they put around the dinosaurs. And Jeff, like you're saying, like, one of the things I love around Jurassic Park and Jurassic World is like, oh my God, they didn't install a separate second security gate. Those idiots. And like feeling like I can judge the park for being so stupid. I didn't get that here.
Right. There was a moment of catharsis, though. There was one point in the movie where there were actually people in the theater that were crying. And that's when the volcano exploded. And the Brachiosaurus was like stranded on the dock looking out at the ship, like people that were waving goodbye to the Titanic when it was leaving. And then it just gets like engulfed in smoke and lava. That was anytime you can like kill an animal in a very, very brutal way in a movie, it's like a cheat code for just getting people to cry during your movie. Like, if that was a human, nobody would have cried. But since it's like a majestic Brachiosaur and the only noise that it can make is like, then everyone was like, oh, it's too bad, that poor dino.
And it's the first one you saw in Jurassic Park, too, so it has some sentimental value there.
That was a very overdone scene.
And it was the not best saying scene in the movie.
The rest of this movie wasn't overdone. Yeah, like visually, I think it was a great scene. It was one of those moments I really liked, but it was very, very dramatic. You can't deny that. It was intended to be that way, which I guess was why people are liking this scene, but it just was like, just having them look out and the, you know, riding away. It was very, very dramatic. Maybe you liked it. I don't know. I just thought it was funny for a Jurassic Park movie to have this like really emotional scene in it, you know?
let's not, we're not going to make this political, but I do want to get to this part. Because Ken Jack and I let out a very loud, audible groan when they said the words dinosaur rights or something like that. When they were talking about.
Like, all the protesters in Washington had signs that, like, protect our dinos or something like that. That effect. It was so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those storylines where I feel like when they were writing the script, they should have been like, wait a second. This is really fucking stupid. And I think that's like the big thing with the story is, like Trill said, they pull it off the island. They pull it off the island. It's just not, it's funny because like people are like, oh, it's not going to be the same thing as the last one. Like they're going to move it on. But at the same time, when it happens in the movie, I'm like, wait, go back to the fucking island.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't like that storyline to save the dinosaurs and all that. It's just, it's a bummer.
A lot of the protesters were in top hats at first glance. But then it was just those were vagina hats. They're dino vagina hats. A stovepipe hat is what that was. So little Easter egg for you guys out there.
I'm with herbrids or hybrids or all in the shirts. Why did Bryce Dallas Howard pivot to becoming a dino lover? Because she hated the dinosaurs all throughout the first one, and then they tried to kill her, and now she's like a dinosaur advocate. Like what in there's, they didn't explain why she pivoted to that.
Right. She was like a workaholic type A in the first one. She had no connection with the dinosaurs, whatever. So,
exactly. And I love that they brought back the will they, won't they little tension between Owen and Claire. I remembered her character's name. Like, I mean, that's what everyone was hoping for in the dinosaur movie was more of the will they, won't they, like Friends sitcom sexual tension. So, yeah, really.
Listen, I hope to be cool enough one day where I'm like out in Montana just by myself building my own house with a hammer. And then the first visitor in 6 months drives up my driveway and I don't even turn around to see who it is. That is badass. That is an alpha move right there.
Then she's just, like, can I buy you a beer? He's like, did you bring them or are we going somewhere or something like that? I'm like, that's some like real natural dialogue. That's something a lot of like real people say, and not just the badass smoldering lead character of this movie. Because every line I feel like was, and not to Chris Pratt's whatever, like I think he's great. He took this movie and make a lot of money, but the way this character is written, it felt like everything was trying to be like overly suave one-liners or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the dialogue and story and the characters are just so inconsistent. They forgot to put things around the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
Can't just have dinosaurs roaming around in a 3D video. Then it just becomes like stuff you show a preschooler.
Mm-hmm.
I will say they look great. The dinosaurs look great. And not that they didn't look great in Jurassic World, but I think they did an even better job this time. I think they had more practical effects. So the movie looked fantastic. So I'll give some points for that. Like, yeah, so I mean, I said it in my review. The movie was competently made. It looked nice, all that. But that's the only reason it got up into the 50s for me. Because other than that, just uninspiring. Not fun. It just and we need to get into this. The other storylines, too. Because, like, look, the dinosaur, whatever, hybrid dinosaur, what a shock. The dinosaur in the end doesn't kill everybody. It just kills some people. Main character's alive. And a smaller dinosaur comes in and alters the end of the movie, which is what has happened in basically all of them. So none of that shocking. But what about some of the other storylines? Ken Jack, I know you got something.
First of all, just killed some people. It killed Toby Jones. You don't just like brush him in with like the common rabble of like rich millionaires trying to buy dinosaurs for militarization purposes, which I think Trill should get into, but because we had a lengthy discussion about the actual practicality of the militarization of dinosaurs, which we think just doesn't work.
I know whether they're in the movie to serve an explanation, but if you were to nerd out about it and question how it would like work in reality, it's like, wouldn't the expense of this dinosaur militarization program, like with everything, all the lengths they have to go to just to like even keep these dinosaurs in containment, like would that be worth it? Like just as a general thought experiment. And it seems kind of like it's a big boondoggle or something like that.
No, I think you're 100% right. Like what are you're going to release these animals just into like an urban warfare environment, and then after they're done like killing everybody, they're going to just like keep running around killing everything that they see? I'd rather have a tank than a tank that can die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what we were saying, right? Like, he died with, like, 150 caliber shot, and the raptor is dead. Like, they're not that tough as they like keep trying to make them seem.
Right. It's just – it's like a huge, huge soldier, like a big target. I don't think that works either, although it might be a cool movie to make in the future where it's just like a bunch of government contractors with the Department of Defense that are trying to like militarize these dinosaurs, and then they just fuck everything up, and then they end up, you know, just like turning against their trainers and stuff. That might be kind of cool, but I agree with Trill. I don't see any practical use for sending a dinosaur into combat.
In the first movie, I bought it, but it was the general driving force of this movie too, which if they're trying to do, I guess, a huge cinematic universe, then creating this like shadow organization that is wanting to militarize these dinosaurs, setting that up might be good.
I want to see them do the thing from Calvin and Hobbes, where it's the Tyrannosaurus Rex flying F-14s.
That's taking the spot of a troop. That seems like unpatriotic, really, in the grand scale of things.
Well, at some point, they got to, I mean, if they keep making these movies, they got to do one where the dinosaur has a human brain. So it's like a big T-Rex, but with the brain of a human. So maybe Chris Pratt's character gets like mind swapped with the big T-Rex. And that'd be pretty funny and entertaining, and probably more entertaining than what I watched today.
Our Ted Williams brain. We got the head.
I mean, like, why not have this Jurassic Park universe where they now race raptors instead of horses every first Saturday in May?
Yes.
That would be pretty entertaining. I don't know. But look, this is like one of those things. Also, these movies, you know, have that weird like ethical debate starting with the first one. It's like, just because we could doesn't mean we should. Or, you know, basically whole character of Goldblum, and they never really get around to like ever challenging anything into that. just stuff happens.
Well,
just
keep doing it. That's the big thing with this one is, and it's what kills me, is you have the rich guy, like the motivation's money, and the MacGuffin or Ex Machina or whatever, however you want to classify it, is that they don't have Blue, the raptor that is trained by Chris Pratt's character, who can respond to humans in like a pleasant way. They don't have Blue's blood to put in the new Indoraptor. And that's why that raptor is such like a dickhead.
No, that wasn't it.
What? Then why would... Well, how
they wanted Blue because they wanted Blue to be a maternal figure to the raptor and raise it so that it would know to respond to human commands. Right. They took the blood from the Tyrannosaurus and put it into Blue. That was the blood transfusion you might be thinking.
Why did they need the Indoraptor specifically? What cannot be done with the raptor?
Well, no, what? Yeah, but
I know, okay, but so it's just
maybe I missed it. But like, what was so Blue? Regardless, am I right in the fact that Blue was supposed to be the thing that made the Indoraptor more responsive?
God, this movie makes no sense.
The first Indoraptor, like the one that's actually in the movie, like it doesn't respond naturally to human commands because it doesn't have a maternal figure. And Blue was supposed to like teach it and like while it gets grown and raise it to respond to humans correctly.
They never addressed that though. That door was never sealed shut. Like
done really quickly.
Yeah.
And so I was wrong in that, but the idea is still that like Blue, like the reason why this all happened in the end is because like, oh, Blue just didn't get there on time. And then the reason why they let the thing get sold, because guys like, well, look, it's worth so much money now. It's like, just fucking wait. Like, you just sold $100 zillion for the other fucking dinosaurs. Just shelve this one for the next auction. So, I mean, it all just comes down to greed, which is, I mean, goes back to your point, Tro. It's like, there's such a philosophical question in the first one, and now it's just dumb money and dumb people doing stupid things. Like, that's just really what it is in this one.
If your philosophical question is, should we like capture and detain and militarize dinosaurs, then my answer to that is no. I don't think we should do that to living creatures. And that's about as much as the movie challenges you. And I know it's Jurassic Park, but like, yeah, maybe a main motivator might be like somebody who's more driven to say like, I'm going to stop this because it's wrong or something like that. I don't know. It just seems like it's the same stuff.
They do that in the first one. That's kind of why I hold this one up to a standard. Like Fast and the Furious, always one of my favorite examples because it knows what it is. Like they didn't get philosophical or smart in the beginning. Like they have the same beat every movie. Now Jurassic Park isn't like the most intellectually advanced movie in the world, but there's still some elements in it with the characters and Jeff Goldblum's especially where it's like, oh, like this is somewhat intellectually grown and like makes sense and like there's some weight to it. And now they've kind of just become dumb movies. like just dumb dinosaur movies.
And that's kind of my main point is like I'm overanalyzing these Jurassic World movies when they're just dumb popcorn flicks. And so that's why it's a 50 for me. Like it just wasn't that entertaining, but it's still a good movie to go get some air conditioning and sit inside and get some popcorn and turn your brain off. It's perfectly fine for that.
I got two questions for this. Number one is, wouldn't it be extremely easy to trace these dinosaurs back to the like that family, since he's the only other person involved in the creation of Jurassic Park, and like they're dinosaurs? It's not like a fucking AK-47 where you could buy it anywhere else. Like they only come from one spot, and I'm pretty sure you'd be able to discover where they're coming from, since the eyes of the entire fucking world is on this one island. Mm. And number two, before the villain guy thought he was going to kill Cromwell's character, the fake British man, was he just always planning on having this auction in the basement, even if he was like there and conscious? Because like he had like 1,000 people over in that man's house, and like if he was alive, wouldn't he even notice that?
Well, yeah, one thing they never address is the house was specifically built and designed to house dinosaurs locked up in the basement. Like the floor, the blueprint of that place, I don't know who they got as an architect to design it, but it just had like 20-foot cages. It was like a dinosaur prison in the basement. So this was obviously like the logical conclusion of whatever their master plan was, but somehow the person who owned the house and had it built, like, he had no idea that there was going to be a dino auction.
Like a pre-designed catwalk, basically, to have the dinosaur cages rolled out into an auction hall.
Yes.
More like a Frank Lloyd Wrong. Am I right, guys? You know what I'm talking about.
PFT, you told me the other day that you telegraphed the conclusion or the wrap-up of the biggest B-plot of the movie is, who is the little girl? You thought it was a clone, because it ends up being a clone, and we were like, what the fuck? And then they don't address it again, which is what happened in the first one. The two kids, their parents, one being Judy Greer, totally forget who the guy was. They were like, oh, like mom and dad were talking about a divorce. And they go, it'll be okay. And they never talk about it again. Mm-hmm. And so like this is the version's. Yeah. Is it?
Yep. Sure was, I think. Oh. I might not be right on that.
I don't know.
But I don't that's remember.
This movie's version of that. It's like, oh, she's a clone. And then they just never go back to it. But you said you called it.
Yeah, I think I spotted it when well, it was kind of weird when she asked her grandfather, like, do I look like my mom? And the grandfather was like, yes, you do. And then later he like tucks that little picture back into the book because he doesn't want the girl to like see the picture. Something about it just screamed clone to me. Maybe it was all the cloning equipment that was in the basement. But I wanted to hear more about that. I wanted to find out, like, what were the ethical implications of this little girl even being alive? Were there 10 other clones that didn't make it to, you know, be a child? Or she never really talked about being a clone either. That's something that I feel like would take a few minutes to get over if you were, 8-year-old, 9-year-old?
Yeah, I totally agree, especially because they telegraphed it totally when they said that, when specifically the line, like, yeah, you look exactly like her. Like, why else would they say that? And why else would she not know who her mom is without them saying, like, oh, like, it's so sad that your mom died and I have to take care of you or something.
Yeah.
They tried to weave it in, though, to the story with, you know, with the – sorry, what's the name of the dinosaur – the old dinosaur guy again?
John Hammond.
I don't want to forget that. John Hammond. They try to weave it in with John Hammond's story, and they're like, why do you think they were like – what do you think the rift was or something, and how like the clone daughter was a big part of that? And then they just don't like address it. They just kind of say it, and you're just expected to be like, oh, okay, cool, and then just move on and forget about it. Back to the Indoraptor climbing on the top of the house.
Oh, man. Yeah, but I feel like the clone plot is like leaving you as the audience at the end of the movie kind of saying, whoa, is this where Jurassic Park's going now? And no, I don't want to get into that whole human cloning. Let's just stick with dinosaurs. Let's just have this like fun little summer dinosaur movie. And so maybe I'm contradicting what I said earlier, but I still think he could keep it to the dinosaur thing and maybe go into more like possibilities other than just militarizing them and people making money off of them, which I know is, I get it, that's very relevant to today, but like it's a Jurassic Park movie, so make something.
I do have to say that it's a pretty cool feature to have a laser guided dinosaur, though. That was the one part of the militarized dinosaur that I thought that really connected, was when they shine a laser at the dino. I was like, okay, that's my target. That was cool.
The funny thing is that these stupid people, these stupid, stupid people finally make the right decision and are like, fuck, these dinos just got to die. Like, it's over. Like, they're just going to finally die.
Gas chamber.
We're going to stop ruining people's lives, making this 30-year decision continue to be terrible. And then the clone girl lets them all out, just lets them out into the wild. And she's why everything will continue to be chaos. Mm-hmm. All her fault.
Because she just goes, they're like me. I have to let them out. Like, why?
I did miss the product placement of the first Jurassic World. We didn't really get a good opportunity. It was a perfect movie for Jurassic World itself, but this wouldn't have made sense with more product placements because, you know, what are you going to show? Margaritaville and like the pouring rain, mm-hmm. like a fragment being engulfed by lava. That's not good advertising.
No. But
I do think that the next one, they should tie in with an insurance company, and the whole thing should be the struggle to get the next Jurassic Park theme park actually insured. What?
No, you're setting this up for James Corden to come in like he did in Ocean's 8.
Hi, guys. I'm here to talk to you about your Raptor policy. It's simply because it's uninsurable, mate. It's uninsurable.
Now, you say you're planning for 7 Raptors, but here on the plan sheet, I see 8. There's no way you're going to get this policy underwritten.
I would like to see maybe...
Alexander Hamilton.
You're like Ben Stiller's character from Along Came Polly to just go to Jurassic Park and be like, okay, what this is, it's a theme park for dinosaurs, and it's just him shitting himself and like... You gotta be fucking kidding me.
It's just
every inspired
Marpool karaoke, but it's got just animated dinosaurs singing along. It's a Nintendo Wii game now.
So, I think we're out of stuff here on Jurassic World. Not great.
Yeah,
put it that way.
The more I talk about it, the more I want to lower my score, actually. We pointed out a number of flaws in this movie.
There's no reason you can't do it. We always allow lowering of scores.
I'm going to drop it to a 42.
Ooh, you beat me.
Oh, damn. Is that the lowest score? That's the lowest score. All right, you can live with that burden. I'm glad I gave it a 50.
Trill never really likes going below a 50 because he doesn't want to hurt people's feelings, which is very fair. Well, that's why he's a good movie goer.
No, because I said on the first podcast, it's because I enjoy most movies. I think it's a miracle they even get made.
It's a very good point.
I was going somewhere else, but I can't. I'm tired.
All right. I guess that's it. PFT, you gave it a 42?
43.
Ken Jack, 43. Okay, sorry. 43. Ken Jack, 46. I gave it a 63. Trill Ballin's a 50. Listeners, 64. PFT, thanks for joining us here. What's the next movie you're going to see?
Actually, I was going to ask you guys that. I'm about to take a long plane ride tomorrow night. So what should I – what's good that just came out on on iTunes that I can download?
On iTunes?
Death of Stalin. I think you'd like Death of Stalin if you haven't seen that.
Okay.
Yeah, you've not seen it?
Wait, he dies?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiled it, man.
All right, our bad.
No, I haven't seen that one.
My bad.
Death of Stalin, have you seen Blockers?
Yes. I saw – I got – to go see that one before it came out so that we could interview John Cena and make fun of his little dick.
What about Annihilation?
I've not seen Annihilation.
I would say Annihilation, and I would say, what was the other one? Man, we're forgetting a lot of shit tonight. Oh, Death of Stalin. Death of Stalin for sure. We love that movie.
Oh, there was one that I saw when I was looking up movies a couple hours ago. It's like a new Denzel Washington movie.
Equalizer 2?
Equalizer. Is that good?
Oh, Equalizer 1 from a few years ago. Yeah, that's very good.
Okay, the sequel
It's not out yet.
Sequel's not out yet, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're flying Delta, they have Death of Stalin on their little like 7-inch TV CPAC thing.
Nice.
You're interested. But maybe I don't want you to give away which airline you're flying with.
I'm going to play
no
that
free advertising.
One of my favorite things to do is watch Black Swan on an airplane. Anytime that you can watch like softcore pornography on an airplane, like leaning over and watching you watch softcore, that's always a nice bonus for me. But I'm going to check out either Death of Stalin or Equalizer.
It's good picks. All right, PFT. Thanks a bunch, man.
Thanks
man.
All right, thank you again to PFT for joining us for the Jurassic World review. When we come back, movies we like that we think critics hate. A little game we're going to play here. But first, another top 10 past LCP/LCB skit.
Are you tired of this happening to you?
What's on Netflix?
Nothing new.
What about iTunes?
It's tough. There are just so many selections, and it's really stressful having to click around and only have 24 hours to watch this thing.
Well, guess who's back?
Who?
Blockbuster!
Wait, like the video rental store that went bankrupt?
Shut the fuck up, because Blockbuster is back! No more pesky iTunes or Netflix. We'll have every movie you've ever needed.
Okay.
Do you want a hard copy of Adam Sandler's Netflix movie, The Ridiculous Six?
No.
Well, Blockbuster will have it in stock. If it's a movie, Blockbuster has it.
How can I help you, sir?
Yeah, I'm looking for the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, that's in our new releases section. Did you check there?
New release? It came out like 10 years
ago. That's right! New releases! We will have every movie right when it leaves the cinema. We will launch our stores with dozens of new releases, including Monsters, Inc., The Departed, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and Iron Man! And remember those really crappy late fees? Well, they're back too!
Hey, very sorry. I was supposed to have this copy of Eurotrip back by noon, but I got stuck in traffic.
Okay, 1 hour late? Sir, that'll be a charge of $25.
$25 for a 1 hour late fee? You know, you have some nerve, you piece of sh-
Blockbuster Video! Returning to America in January 2018!
All right, we're back. Lights, camera, barstool. Fun game, I think. This is a lot of fun to play in the office and us debating it. Listeners, you voted as well. And I think we're going to do some other rankings and games based off this format in the future. So we know we hate Rotten Tomatoes. We say it all the time. But guess what? It's going to be involved in this segment. So here's how it's going to work. We're going to list 10 movies that we really like that we think critics hate. So you had to make your list without using Rotten Tomatoes. Had to make your list without cheating. So we all have 10 movies, and the person or group, counting the listeners, with the lowest average Rotten Tomatoes score wins. Lowest average Rotten Tomatoes score. The lowest average that we had in the office was an 18.8%. And then there was a 19.3%. Everything else was ranging in the 30s to 40s. So it's tough. It's tough to be very low, but we'll start it out. Ken Jack, give your first movie. And we're going to go movie by movie. We don't have to elaborate too much. You can kind of just say why you like it, maybe briefly. And then as we go, we'll know how the average is, you know, what it's on track for. So rattle it off. What's your first movie?
My first movie is Coyote Ugly. And it's mostly because it was on TV nonstop. It's a very common theme throughout my entire list is that there are movies that are on TV a lot. This movie was on TV a lot. And it was in my formative years when I was cranking my hog off a lot. And this had a lot of very attractive women in it. And it made me really horny. And Piper Perabo's in it. Tyra Banks, I think. And also Bridget Moynihan. And John Goodman, I think.
Yeah, Johnny G's in it. Yeah.
So it's a perfectly solid movie. Bar dancing stuff. I mean, it's fun. It's a fun time. And I think this one's going to be the one that maybe sinks me because it's probably a decent score. But I just have a feeling that most people dislike it. Critically.
Okay, what do you think? We'll play a little Rotten Tomatoes game too. Give me like a ballpark. What do you think it's going to be?
Like 30s to 40s.
23%. So you start out with 23%.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, I'll go first. My first pick, it's a comedy movie that I know not a ton of people, especially critics, love. Andy Samberg, we talked about it all the time in this podcast, so I really don't need to elaborate. And that's Hot Rod. And Hot Rod coming in, I thought it'd be much lower. It's a 40%. So
yeah,
I start out with a 40%.
Yeah, that's on my list too. So
that's low. So is that going to be, do you want to make that your first pick, Trill?
I didn't rank mine. No, I'm going to go with list that I randomly wrote out. And
well, there's no rankings. There's no rankings. Oh, okay. Just, yes.
Okay.
So you can go in any order.
Yeah, just put it in as my first pick, and then it, I guess it can snake back.
All right, so Hot Rod is your first pick, 40%. Listeners, their first one will list off Godzilla. Godzilla 1998, Rotten Tomato score of 16%. So right now the listeners have the lowest average so far, 16%. Ken Jack 23, Trill and I 40. Ken Jack, second movie. Movies you like that you think critics hate.
Without a Paddle is my next one. This was on, I think, TBS a ton. It had a couple of guys that I really liked from around that era. Number one being Seth Green. Seth Green was in a lot of like mid-2000s movies that I enjoyed a lot, like this and The Italian Job were two big ones. Also, Matthew Lillard, who plays Scooby, Shaggy in the Scooby-Doo movies. He's in a lot of very bad movies. So I'm just assuming, based off that kind of evidence, that this is going to be a bad critic score. Might be wrong, but there's a lot of redeemable things in this movie that I like. Like when they throw poop at the two farm weed farmers from the treehouse.
What's your guess for a score?
This one I think is going to be pretty low. I'm guessing like somewhere between 10 and 20.
It's 14%, so you're pretty close. So your average is down to a 19%.
Fuck yeah.
My next movie, I had Hot Rod first. I'm going Euro Trip, and it's at 46% of Rotten Tomatoes. I thought it'd be much lower. Like, that's above Hot Rod. That's insane. Because Euro Trip is funny. Like, I like Euro Trip, but, I mean, I love Hot Rod. So
it doesn't even seem Hot Rod.
Yeah. So I'm at 43%. I'm off to a tough start. Trill Bones. Second movie.
Okay, my second movie is Grandma's Boy.
Yeah,
this Grandma's is a, not a great movie, but it's a movie I really liked. Very sophomoric humor. Came out at the right time in my life for me to find that really funny. And even when I go back and rewatch it, it's still kind of ridiculous in a way.
Fucking JP cracks me up every time.
That's the best. Is that the... I forget the actor who played him.
It's
Dodgeball.
He sounds like Andrew Luck.
Yes.
I say that all the time. Yeah. Joel David Moore.
Yep.
That's right.
Joel David Moore.
I want to go watch Grandma's Boy now.
Do you have a guess, Grandma's Boy, on Rotten Tomatoes, Trill?
I'd probably say like 28%.
It's 16%.
Jeez. Damn. That's real low. Yeah.
Oh, but
Grandma's Boy is not great, but it's not a 16% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, no, not that's ridiculous. So your average,
it's so stupid.
Oh yeah, I love Grandma's Boy. It might be on my list. Trill, your average is at 28%. Listeners, their next pick: Step Brothers. Step Brothers. They had a 16% for the first one. 54%. 54% though. That's not a great score. I thought it'd be lower. So their average is at a 35%. Ken Jack's in the lead right now at 19%. And Ken Jack, rattle it off. Third movie you're going to pick.
Hitman Agent 47. I don't know what it is about that lead guy. I think it's Rupert Friend from Homeland. I just like him. I buy him as an action hero. He doesn't get enough chances, I don't think. But he's good. He was in Death of Stalin, too, who we just previously talked about with PFT commenter. I think it's a very bad movie. Like I very much understand that, but some of the action scenes in slow-mo, specifically the scene where he's in the interrogation room and he bumps up the sniper rifle to the bullet. That's so good. I mean, how could you even seen that situation coming is beyond me. It still makes no fucking sense, but I love it. It's very good.
What's your guess on the Rotten Tomatoes score?
In the single digits. It's very bad.
It's a 9%.
Oh, I'm fucking killing it. Shit.
You are. You're at a 15% average and you are shooting for eight. You got to be below 18.8%. Okay. Actually, and let me, if I get down the percentage points, you're at 15.3%. My next one, so far, the two more might have been said. Grandma's Boy, I had as well. That's a 16%. So that helped me out. I dropped down to a 34. Trill Bones, give me a third movie. Movies you love, critics don't like.
I'm guessing Half Baked. The 1998, I think, classic with Dave Chappelle and Jim Brewer. Not a great movie, but this was just a funny stoner movie that I really enjoyed at that time of my life, even though I was a complete nerd who never smoked weed.
Do you have a guess of the score?
Probably like 22.
29%.
Ooh, close.
Oh, well, that's close. Yeah.
You're at a 28.3. Listeners, their next movie? We talked about this the other day. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
fuck that movie.
A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. You know what this movie's at? This is surprising. I thought it'd be higher than this. 17%.
That's too high. What a piece of shit.
A lot of movies are popping up that I don't understand how, like, just the probability that a mass group of people would find all these movies to be like this. To just kind of like them despite, like, whatever.
Like, a couple hundred people had League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Now, keep in mind, we did talk about it on Sunday. So yeah, that might have been saying, why that was on
it there. Sounds kind of gamed, like the Gotti thing.
Yeah, maybe.
They're abusing our voting system.
Okay, so listeners down to 29%, but Ken Jack wildly in the lead with a 15.3% average. What's your next pick?
My next one is one of two Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, which I enjoy a lot because they were on a ton.
I'm
going
to lose this list. All I know is you have two Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, and I have zero. And
I'm going to read off a couple other lists later. Big Cat picked three Steven Seagal movies. So, I mean, he was out of the gate just in a great shape. But Ken Jack, go ahead.
I thought about that, too. There is some Steve Seagal movies I sort of like, but I was like, I don't like them even nearly enough to betray myself for the point of winning and putting them on my list. So I understand where he was coming from. I have Bloodsport. It's Frank Dukes versus Chong Li. It's like the best fight of all time. Glistening, oiled up, muscles, kickboxing, slow motion. Like, what the fuck more do you want? And it's like a whole underground sub. Oh, it's great. It's a great movie. I watch it anytime it's on TV.
So actually, Big Cat had Bloodsport as well. And this one did not help you. It's a 33%.
Ah.
Yeah, so you're up to a 19.8 average. I had another one that the listeners had. I had Step Brothers. I thought it was much lower. I thought it was in like the low 40s. It's 54%. So I'm up to 39%, and I'm not looking too hot here. Trouble on fourth movie.
Fourth movie, I Love You, Beth Cooper.
You like this movie?
Yeah, not a great movie, but it's an enjoyable watch. I think it's funny. It's got that like classic 80s style kind of raunchy teen comedy vibe, but then also it's got a wholesome Paul Rust as a lead character.
Dude, I totally forgot about that movie until you just mentioned it now.
It's not that bad. I watch it. It's on TNT or TBS a lot now. Or maybe HBO 2 or one of them. I'll just leave it on.
So, Paul Rust.
Paul Rust, baby.
Who was Beth Cooper? It was the girl from Heroes. I always forget her name.
Oh, Panettiere.
That's right.
Panettiere. Paul Rush is on the Netflix series Love, which is actually pretty good. I checked that out.
Yeah. Every time you say his name, I want to fucking crack up.
Paul Rush?
Trill. Guessing the score, I'm letting you know that the audience score for I Love You, Beth Cooper is 32%. So what do you think the critic score is?
I probably 25.
14%.
Ooh, that's a plus for me.
So you're down to 24.8. You're made up a little ground on Ken Jack. Listeners, their pick, the next one, Space Jam, which was a very popular pick. So I guess people know that the critics don't really like Space Jam. It's at a 38%. So their average goes up to 31.3. Ken Jack, movie number five. You're going to have to drop back down a little bit to gain some more ground on Trill.
I'm very confident this will drop me some. Assassins, the Stallone and Antonio Banderas movie, which spawned one of the best gifts of all time. One of your favorites, Jeff, where Antonio Banderas leans back in the computer and goes like, yes, it's one of those ones that was on TV a whole ton. Again, common theme in my list.
I agree with that. That movie was awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. Do you remember how every single time like anything would happen, Antonio Banderas, this guy, would just go like, ha ch 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 cha. And like, you'd be like, why are you doing that? But he did it. And he had this cool little sniper rifle that he used in the graveyard fight. That was awesome. It was like part handgun, part sniper. It was sick. And then
Antonio Banderas was my favorite like 90s badass just because of Assassins. And he had this other movie called Desperado.
Yeah,
and it's like those two movies together. I was like, God, this guy rules,
dude. I almost had Desperado on my list, but I'm afraid it might have been higher because whatever the mariachi, other mariachis are pretty good too. So I had him because he fucked big in the 90s. He was awesome, and that fight at the end with a torn down church where he's just like cursing nonstop. He's like, oh fuck, shit. And like he's getting shot at by like I forget who. The elite co-lead was Stallone was besides Banderas, but they're all fighting each other. It's great. It's a great time.
What's your guess? Score guess.
It has to be somewhere 0 to 20. It has to be. There's no way it's higher.
It's a 15%. So you drop down to 18.8%. You're in good shape. You're tied right now for the lead. My next pick, this is one that I really love, and this is an egregious score. Wet Hot American Summer. I think this movie should be, 75% of critics should like this movie. It's a 33%.
What?
Wet Hot American Summer. I mean, just fucking love that movie. That's down there. I'm at 37.8%. It's crazy, but that's what it's at. So I'm to a 37.8% average after Wet Hot American Summer, 33% rating. Movies we love that critics potentially hate. I guess that's the word, because we don't know if they hate or not, but we assume they hate it. Tro Ballins, what's your fifth pick?
My fifth pick is American Wedding. Yeah, the third American Pie movie. This one, I think, is a 2003 movie. There's no way the critics gave this thing above 15%, but I love this movie. It tied up the American Wedding story quite nicely until they came along with American Reunion and ruined the whole canon.
Wasn't Oz not even
still,
in this
I'm
one?
Still, I'm still raising money for my remake of American Reunion. If you're interested.
Wasn't
they ruined Jim's dad? They ruined Jim's dad. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, wasn't Oz not in this one? Didn't he get the boot?
No, one of them got the boot. I think. What's his name? Kevin Kline.
I guess.
I don't know.
Was his name Oz?
Yeah, it was. He was in. He was the one who played lacrosse, right, or whatever.
Yeah. Like the jock one.
Yeah.
All right.
One of them was gone. They definitely brought back anyway. Stifler.
can't
do
hurt
a movie without Stifler.
Fucking Stifler.
This is gonna hurt you. 54%.
Ooh. No. Oh, I'm out. I'm done.
You're sunk. There's no way you're beating me now.
54%. I got to go back and read the reviews. I can't imagine a critic being like, when the dog ate Stifler's ring that he's supposed to be carrying out, and then he ate the poop. That was 54%.
Richard Brody's like, you see, movies like Infinity War just don't capture the grandiose fucking aesthetic of Stifler's dog eating poop.
No, Stifler ate the poop.
What?
Yes. The dog ate the ring and then pooped it out. And then he was holding it, and the mom-in-law or whatever thought it was a truffle. And rather than say he lost the ring, he put the poop in his mouth and kept the ring in there.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh my God.
That's cinema.
Isn't that what happened? Am I crazy?
Dude, I didn't see it.
Oh, you're just talking shit on Stifler.
The critics' consensus, yeah. And we'll move on to the listeners. The critics' consensus is raunchier and even more gross than the first two American Pies. American Wedding ought to please fans of the series. That's what they said. So I guess you were pleased, Trill. Listeners, Trill, your average is at 30.6%. Listeners, their fifth movie, Boondock Saints, 20%. That was, I think, the second most picked movie. Boondock Saints. They're down to 29%. Ken Jack, you're still in the lead, 18.8%, and you're tied overall within The Office for the lead. What's your sixth movie? You gotta have some low ones here.
Yeah, this one's definitely low. It's my second Jean-Claude Van Damme pick, Legionnaire. Jean-Claude Van Damme, he plays like a boxer, and he has like wants to run away with like a gangster's wife, and then they get caught, and he has to like run away and join the Legion. And they send him to, I think, like Morocco or something. I don't really remember a lot of the beginning part of it, but the end of it, there's a really cool siege scene in the middle of the desert. It's awesome. It's really cool. And like all like it's period piece, sort of, not really. And like everything looks really authentic. It's sick. It's a fun time. And
29%.
How much?
Oh, sorry, I cut you off. 29%.
I thought it'd be lower. Shit.
That's not bad though. You're at 20.5%. You're very salvageable. You can definitely still win this. My sixth movie is going to be National Treasure. I'm not doing well here. 44%. That's just these are the movies that I like that I think critics say. I don't know. Just not doing well. I'm at a 38.8% average, which is middle of the pack. National Treasure, 44%. Trouble in sixth movie.
I'm going to go Idiocracy. I think this one's a gamble because it was actually a good movie, and I don't know if critics loved it, though. I just put it on Idiocracy. Here. I'm gonna roll the dice, Jeff.
Somebody else picked Idiocracy. I got to find who it was here. Idiocracy. Maybe like, nobody else did.
I can't imagine critics loving what they did to the name Fuddruckers.
Well, here's the problem, Trill.
Buttfuckers.
You didn't have to say it.
Yes, I did.
Like, you just ruined the subtlety of the joke.
No, I had to say it out loud because you fucking alluded to it. You said it in my brain.
Trill.
Okay, Jeff, what did it get? No, I'm out. I'm out.
Not good. Wow. 38.2% average now. Listeners, they had Batman vs. Superman, 27%. They're down to 28.7% average. Seventh movie, Ken Jack. Well, I mean, you're really close. You're at 20.5%. You're leading the group here, and you're just behind. You're in third place in The Office right now.
My next one is Kung Pao. This one was on FX nonstop, and it was always on that feature thing. Do you remember they would have that thing with movies where it would be like a guy, it was like a short, fat guy and like a really attractive blonde woman, and they would sit and talk to you about the movies and like show you behind the scenes stuff on FX? You remember this?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So they would always do this movie and like break it down. And the movie itself is very shitty and problematic by both today's standards and probably then standards, which is like early 2000s. But every single time I watched it as a kid, I would crack up. It was like a lot of really funny gags. And it was really weirdly made. It was like green screen over like a 1950s movie or something. It was weird. But it was very funny.
Okay. Kung Pao, 11%.
Fuck yeah. I knew that was going to be a fucking tank.
Oh, that was a great pick.
Yeah, so you're down to 19.1. You're getting there. I think you're going to be top five at least. We're breaking down in graphics of four, so you got to make top four. That's how you're on the first graphic. My pick, my next one, Not Another Teen Movie, 30%. I mean, I'm just toeing the line in the 30s and 40s. I'm down to 37.6% average. Trebon's, your seventh movie.
Oh, that's funny you said Not Another Teen Movie, because mine's She's All That. I think it's probably like 35%.
She's All That, 1999, 39%.
Damn.
See, yeah, it's in the 30s. Cool. But
39%. I don't know. Your average is at 38.3.
I'm not coming back after that Idiocracy pick.
No, that's going to be tough. Listeners, next one, Transformers, 57%. Original Transformers. I like the original Transformers.
It's a good movie. The first one's like not bad at all.
Very enjoyable. And then after that, it's when it gets pretty bad. Ken Jack, three picks left. What's your next one?
I don't think any of these three are going to be below a 20. That's like my sort of prediction. But I think that they're critically poorly received. But I like all three of these quite a bit. My number three pick is The Beach. Leonardo DiCaprio's in it. I don't remember who else is in it. I mostly love this because my dad really loved it, and it would make me watch it every time it was on. It was on TV a ton, too, because it was like a semi-PG teenish movie that they could kind of get away with it. It also had a lot of really good songs in it. It had Porcelain by Moby in it. That was a hot song in the early 2000s. Had Spinning Away by Sugar Ray, another hot song. And the ending is something that always struck me because, like, they're in an internet. It's Leo in an internet cafe, which was like, do you remember people thought that was going to be a thing for a while? Like, people.
Oh, it was a thing. Separate
room. Yeah, no, I'm saying people thought it was like a longstanding thing.
Oh, yeah, like an actual like institution, like internet cafes should have taken off, except for like instead of Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly. So like people really thought it was going to be a thing. And it was him loading like on a DSL connection a photo and it coming down like pixel by pixel by pixel. It was really funny. It's a good scene to look up if you have time. And I don't think any of these are going to be below 20, though.
20% is the rating.
Oh,
dead on. Yeah. So you're at 19. Your average went up. You're at 19.3%. You need a sub 15% movie to kind of save you here.
I don't think either.
To get you the win. But yeah, you're pretty good. My next one, Saving Silverman, 18%. That was a big help to me. That dropped me down to 35.1. I'm still trying to get top eight here. Trebon's, number eight. What's your number eight movie?
Sweet Home Alabama, the Reese Witherspoon rom-com.
You fucking like that?
Yeah, I kind of like rom-coms. I think they're charming, and they don't really make them that much anymore, probably because they're so stupid. But like for the 2000s, like the early 2000s rom-coms, like it's kind of nostalgic for me.
Who was even in that besides Reese Witherspoon? Is Dempsey in it?
Is it Patrick Dempsey? I think it was Patrick Dempsey. I'm saying I like this movie, but I haven't seen it in a while, so that's why I'm saying I think.
The score is 38%.
Okay, well, that's basically not, that's your not average. Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah. Here's another highly voted on movie for the listeners. Law Abiding Citizen, 26%. So their average drops down to 31.9%, which is good 26? For 26. Right, yeah, 26%.
That's so low. That was a great movie.
That's a TV movie. That and Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3 are always on cable.
Oh, I didn't like that one though.
Always on cable. All right, Ken Jack, you have two left. What's your number 9 movie?
My number 9 is Repo Man. Jude Law, Forrest Whitaker, them as guys who repossess organs from people who need them. It's kind of a fucked up concept, but also really cool and interesting, and like a Black Mirror before Black Mirror-ish type of a scenario going on. And there's a really, really good fight scene near the end of it in a hallway where Burn My Shadow by Uncle is playing. Awesome song. And a really just a great fight scene.
Not to be confused with Repo Man.
No, not Repo Man. Repo.
That would ruin you. Because that's got to be over like 90, 95. Repo Man, 21%. 21. So you're gonna need something to help you win. You're gonna need a single digit to win this.
There's no my next 19. No chance. My next one might be like a 50. Okay. I don't even know.
Yeah, you're at 19.4%. That's just good enough for that's easily third place, but just misses out on second. My number 8, Secret Life of Walter Mitty, 51%. You like that? I like that movie. It was charming.
What was the song from that trailer? Because it got stuck in my head forever.
It was an Of Mice and Men song, I believe. Trailer song, Walter Mitty. A lot of Googling tonight. Dirty Paws of Monsters and Men. That was a song in that trailer. Good trailer. I love that trailer.
Great trailer.
Good Twitter account, too.
Yeah. That's an old Troll Bones Twitter find. That's right.
I love that Twitter account. I think they repurposed it for something.
36.9% for me. That's my average. Trill, you got two left. What's your number 9?
My number 9 is 13 Going on 30. I finished with some rom-coms because I enjoy them. But this one is pretty good. Kind of a weird plot, kind of a weird way they get there, but overall they tried something different. But no way critics like
Mark
like
Ruffalo,
the more traditional rom-coms. Yeah.
Ruffalo. Also Judy Greer.
Yes. Yeah. I think
Serkis too.
Yep. He was the boss. And they did the thriller dance in it. That was a good scene.
Obviously Jennifer Garner is the lead in that. Yeah. 16 going on 60, 13 going on 30. Trail 64%. That did not do you any justice.
Oh dude, I'm bad at this game. I'm really bad.
64%. You're at a 41.1% average. Shooter for the listeners, 47%. So their average bumps up to 33.6. Ken Jack, you don't think you're going to win, but you have a chance to win. You're at 19.4%. In order to win, you need a movie with, I think it's, let's see here, do a little math, with a 12% or lower. If the movie has 12% or lower, you will win the game.
There's no chance for this one. I'm actually considering audibling to Inside Man, which I love. Wait, but I think Inside Man has a really good rating, so I'm not going to pick it. I'm going to stick with my original pick, Tears of the Sun, classic FX movie that I watched nonstop. Bruce Willis, many other people, Monica Bellucci was in it for a little bit. It was very dramatic towards the end. There was a point where the first time I watched it on FX, cried a little bit towards the end of it, and in the closing 20 minutes. Very, very underrated movie and very cool, very good action scenes.
You come in with an average of 20.8%. Tears of the Sun, 33%.
Yeah.
So you place third. You place third in The Office. Yeah. Inside Man, by the way, 86%. That would have completely fucked you. Yeah. That's a big, very good. You didn't audible. Very good. You didn't audible. My last one, Super Troopers, 32%. Excuse me. My final score, 36.4%, which lands me at 8. Trebon's rounded out. You're not going to come in last, but you got to try to finish out top 12. Actually, you can't finish top 12. So what's your last movie?
So what's my current score again? Reminder.
Your current score is 41.1%.
This movie is hopefully below that. That's what I'm shooting for. It's How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Mm. I feel like that was a
decent rating. Lose a guy in 10 days?
Yeah. You know what I should have done? I should have went with Fool's Gold because I like that too. That was like Fool's the follow up to that.
Yeah.
One. Yeah. Don't you like that movie?
Sahara. No, I did like that movie a lot. McConaughey made that in Sahara, both of which were very good. Yeah. I thought.
I felt like those came out in the same summer. I always associate them too.
So here we go. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, 42%. So right on your average, basically. So you finish 41.2%. You finish in 13th place. Listeners, last pick, Bruce Almighty, 49%. 35.1% average. The listeners, they finish, let's see here, they finish 8th. Yeah, they bump me to 9, trail to 14th. The listeners had a couple movies that just missed their list that might have given them a chance to win because they had Summer Catch, Out Cold, and Mighty Ducks all in 11, 12, and 13. Mighty Ducks is in the teens percentage-wise, and Out Cold is an 8, and Summer Catch is an 8 as well. I mean, so they were really close. Cocktail was up there at the 5%. Cocktail's a 5%.
How is that a 5? Crazy.
Just telling you what it is. Okay, so they finished with 35.1%, but Big Cat's movies were a talking point for some arguments in the office because people thought his list was bullshit. He had Best of the Best 2, Over the Top, Bloodsport, Hard to Kill, Cocktail, Black Sheep, Soul Man, Grown Ups, Biodome. And then this one, this was the one that got everyone going nuts. And that was I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
That's not a wild movie to like.
People were pissed, though. Like, Coley was like, that's bullshit. You do not like I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. But he said he did.
I mean,
and then Rhea won. She had an 18.8%, which the hype was that she was going to win. She had Chasing Mavericks, Grind, The Last Song, A Cinderella Story, Johnson, Family Vacation, Fired Up, Sleepover, Stepfather, Couples Retreat, and Aquamarine again. So, yeah. Coley had a tough go, 40.7. Devlin had a tough go. He had Face Off, had a 92%.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Tough pick. Fights was in the middle of the pack there as well. So, yeah, I'm glad everyone got involved in this. It was a good time. We're going to have a blog about it, too. Francis, K. Mark, other people in the office, they got involved and tried to give their picks. And Big Cat actually suggested doing this in the reverse, too.
Now that Trill says Fool's Gold, I'm pissed I didn't pick it because I just looked it up and it's a fucking 11%.
Yeah, I should have put that on my own list because I like that one, too. So I should have just gone with that instead of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. It's another one.
Do you remember what? Never mind. Sorry. Go ahead.
Were you about to say, do you remember in Sahara?
Yeah, in Sahara when he struck the plane across the desert.
Yes.
It was awesome. It was that so was cool. Really cool.
Do you remember when you played for the Bulls? That was cool.
That was awesome.
Look, I'm not saying tweet Big Cat and ask him for his favorite moments from I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, but you can do it if you want. He staunchly denied lying about that movie. Ooh, so
maybe
says he loves it.
Even better yet, tweet Big Cat your favorite Happy Madison gif.
Yeah, or just your favorite gif from I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, which I'm not sure there'll be many online.
That's why I didn't say I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, because I'm not sure how big the gif library is for that.
So next week, what are we reviewing? Are we reviewing Uncle Drew? Oh, no, Sicario.
Sicario, yeah. And Uncle Drew, I think.
Sicario, right? And Uncle Drew.
That one's been getting really great ratings, right, Jeff? Or reviews?
No, Sicario was kind of middle of the road. I think on Rotten Tomatoes, it's at like a 76% approval. Yeah, it's 71% approval. I mean, people still like it for the most part. So, hey, I'm excited for it.
I don't know.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, 90% of Rotten Tomatoes. Uncle Drew, 53%. So we'll review them. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp will not be next week, but the week after. And then we're going to do a Court of Trill for the movie Tag this Sunday. I'm excited for that one. Tag was awesome. Kendrick and I love Tag. I gave it an 85, I think, and Kendrick gave it a 79. We loved it. We had a great time with Tag. And then we had to turn around and go see Jurassic World. Also, I just want to note that we fucked up the AMC Movie Pass thing. You can see any three movies you want during the week.
Yeah. That was totally my fuck up because I read there's two articles on it that I read. The first one incorrectly reported it and fixed it by the time I went back to it. Second article had it correctly, and the first one is the one I referred to in my brain because my brain doesn't work very fast.
That's all right. It was still, we had the general idea. So yeah, you can see any movie you want. Sorry, AMC. Don't hate us. You can still sponsor the pod. All right. So that's it for Vacation Trill. Trill, enjoy that vacation, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. It's fun working with you guys. So I like to I like to take a vacation from my vacation via podcasting.
And for Kent Jack as well, I'm Jeff Lowe. Enjoy your 4th of July weekend, pre-weekend. Whatever you do, have fun. Go see some movies. We'll talk to you next week.
Skin like I'm breathing. Yeah, I got whatever it takes. Got so much stronger from mistakes. Nobody better than me. Ooh, like a shooting star, I go. Ooh, like a shooting star, I go.